Really, you guys don't know the routine yet? Let's stand. Take the limbs. Wave for Brother Ryan. He's awake. Brother Jacob, would you open the prayer, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, for the opportunity and us to be here. Yes. We have to be go through these classes and teachers trying to remember what they studied, and you might be able to pay attention, follow along, and be able to apply these things in our service towards you. Because the many prayer requests were mentioned, that many that are in need of your firm care, that your power may be demonstrated, and might be good witnesses for you and everything, with it, regardless of the outcome, that you might be lifted up. And to be the services and come up this weekend, that you make it go well, and you might see lost souls come to know you. Just trying to pray.
Amen. Good question, Brother Dale and I were talking. It was very hard not to jump in and add. I'll give you two things. One is Declaration of Independence was signed when? What year? 1776. The Danbury Baptist Association wrote a letter in 1800. 24 years after, they wrote a letter to President Jefferson. He's the third president of the United States.
Yeah.
Third president of the United States. And in that letter, they said, "We have fought, we have fled, we have died for the First Amendment that guaranteed freedom of religion. When are we going to have it?" Because to this very day, 24 years later, can you imagine that a law is passed that says we get freedom, and in 2050 we still haven't seen it? Thomas Jefferson writes that and says, "I have always believed in separation of church and state. The government should not hinder the freedom of exercise of religion." The idea of separation of church and state came from the government not getting into religion. Supreme Court picked it up many decades later and reversed it and said the church should not be involved with the state. But 24 years, the third president, 1800, we still hadn't had the First Amendment. All was on paper, but it wasn't enforced. Now, that's one thought.
Brother Burfield? Well, and as was pointed out, you had a weak federal government on purpose because they just came from a very oppressive monarchy.
Mm-hmm.
And so the states were sort of, even if that was the rule, there really wasn't a way to enforce it. I mean, we think of all the things we read now about the government pulling strings with money or having a, you know, a military or however, right, using the National Guard. Most of those things don't exist at that point. They don't have much of an army. They do not have a guard. The states have all the money and have all the power. It's not until probably after the Civil War that the federal government actually starts to pick up the pace and be what we think of it as today.
Yeah, by Andrew Jackson this time, a little before Andrew Jackson's time, they had an idea of what we call the Federal Reserve.
Yeah.
Another idea that unless you spend time there, you're not going to get it. And I was able to spend time there. This is a picture of Rhode Island. Now, if you remember what Brother Doug was saying in Massachusetts, they vanished. Rhode Island is the smallest state in the nation. You know why? There ain't nothing there. Nobody wants it. You can't do anything with it.
Swampland and a beach.
I was going to say, it's a swamp and a beach.
Swampland and a beach. It wasn't swampland and beach. Having driven through there, it is incredibly rocky. Good luck trying to plant a farm.
We're just going about it the wrong way. I mean, we're supposed to go down. I mean, it looks like an archway.
Yeah, it kind of does. So, can you imagine having to uproot your life, having the conversation at home saying, honey, how important is church to us? Because we can stay here in Massachusetts, and we can bow the knee and accept the religion of the state. Or we can go to this place nobody wants, and we'll be safe there. So it's going to be a hard life. A hard life. We'll be subsisting difficultly. May have to go into the fishing trade to something. And John Clark and many of the other brothers went to Rhode Island. The church that John Clark built, the building still exists. I had the privilege of going there to a little museum now. And like a lot of things, they don't know what they got. But what struck me was, guess where the first synagogue in America is?
Was that where I'm?
Good. Right around the street. Right down the street.
So down.
It's about 60 feet from the first Baptist church in America. So why would the first synagogue be located so close to the first Baptist church?
It's first place to establish it.
It was the first place that allowed the Jews a right to worship. So why would these Baptists do that? They've been fighting, you know, the pilgrims came over, the Puritans, they landed in Massachusetts, we came for freedom of religion. As soon as they hit the rock, they go, we're free to exercise our religion. Well, by the way, you've got to believe what we believe. Or we're going to banish you. Banishing isn't, no, not very Christian at all. Banishing is not what we think of as move from Eugene to Veneta. Oh, well. Is literally sending you out to die. Baptist took the hard rock, the hard, difficult land, and they subsisted and subsided. And when you had Jews come by, they said, there's room enough for you to know. Why would they do that?
The Christian thing to do.
Why is that the Christian thing to do?
How close is the Lord with the Jews?
What's that?
How close is the Lord with the Jews?
How close is the Lord with the Jews? Brother Doug.
Wasn't that as much as the only habitable place that they were familiar with on the continent that didn't have the persecution?
Exactly.
Soul liberty.
Oh! Soul liberty. Soul liberty.
Even if you didn't believe what the Baptist believed, you were welcomed, and they didn't demand that you be in our services, or you're going to go to jail or be caught.
Yeah.
Or pay taxes to us. Yeah. Or...
Exactly right. Exactly right. And we have the right to witness to them. There's a lot more to the Baptist history than you think at first blush. It goes very deep, very broad.
Mm-hmm.
On the choice of our forefathers' names to the very hour are expansive.
Mm-hmm.
With that in mind, put back to John 17. Brother Alec.
Oh, no.
Explain the Trinity to us.
First of all, I'm my son, and son, the creator, and reverend, and the son, father, God, the son, and the three are one. Perfect harmony, perfect genius,
They're three distinct individuals, but make up one godhead. They've always been around. They don't have a beginning or an end. Psalm 91 and 2 from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God.
Okay. So what makes them, are they one in person?
No, they're three distinct infants, but they're one. They make up one Godhead. And you see that example in the scripture. Well, it's very, you already turned here, but you can see the working of it in verse 20. 26. No. Sorry, I'm thinking of John 15, 26. But you see, John 15, verse 26. But when the Comforter has come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. So you have all three. They're separate, but they're all three working together, and they're all three are one.
Okay. Excellent. Now look at John chapter 17, verse number 24. Father, I will that thou also... excuse me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou givest me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world.
Agapio.
Before the foundation of the world, before anything existed, there was agapio. There was agapio. The Father loved Jesus with
sacrifice.
All there is. Agapio. We looked last time, is a verb of the will. Not that pitter-pat that people think is love. Oh, love at first sight.
That's filial.
That's filial. That's fondness. That's affection. That's love. Maybe carnality. But it's not agape. Agape is a noun for agapio. It is a choice of the will. It's not emotional. It's a decision, excuse me, it is a decision to commit totally, leaving nothing in reserve, everything out there, unconditionally, sacrificially, committed to the object of your love. Brother Reagan. Matthew 22, verse 37 to 39. Brother Joshua, Mark 12, 30 and 31. And Brother Alec, yeah, I've already picked their Brother Christian, John, or Luke 10, 27. Brother Reagan, you ready?
Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
Thank you, Brother John.
And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment for any deeds.
Correct. Another Christian.
He answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself.
What's the first commandment?
Love
God. Shall love God. Is that emotional?
That is agapio.
It's agapio. It is a decision we are commanded to make. To do what? To love God. How are we supposed to love God? In what manner are we commanded to love God? With everything we've got. Would you be surprised to know in every one of those verses the word love is agapio? We are commanded to unreservedly commit everything we have with all our heart, with all our strength, with all our soul, with all our mind. Everything we've got. Everything we got. Think about that. How often do we do that? Did Peter have an issue with that? Do you love me? Yay, Lord, you know I love you. I feel you. Oh, boy. I'm fond and I've got affection for you. Peter, do you love me? Yay, Lord, you know I love you. Peter, do you love me? This is agapio, is what the Father had with Jesus, what Jesus had with the Father, for the Holy Spirit had with the Father and the Son. Totally committed to each other. Before there was anything in the world. Oh, by the way, if you get this down, you'll understand the Trinity. You don't get this down, the Trinity will always be a mystery to you. For everything Jesus had was for the Father and for the Holy Spirit. Everything the Holy Father had was for Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Everything the Holy Spirit had was for the Father and the Son. Totally committed to each other. To the point that they became one. Oh. They became one in love. Total unity, harmony. My goodness, is it so hard to understand? What is a husband and a wife supposed to be? Well, these two shall become one. And I noticed that Brother Jared is excited not to be here for this class. He enjoyed the last one so well. The two shall become one. Do you realize that the husband actually commanded to love the wife? Do you realize the wife is actually commanded to love the husband? And surprisingly, she is to be taught. The elder women are supposed to teach the younger women how to love their husband. Isn't that amazing? You mean that agapio love don't come automatically? You got to work on it. We're selfish individuals. I didn't sign up for this.
She did.
Well, if you think about it, you really did. If you're going to portray the picture of Jesus in the church, you really did.
Right. It tells you how, from that, we misunderstand this word. And I know, because I was thinking about this for quite a bit. The word love, when I hear the word love, it is so ingrained in me to think of a Disney love, to think of your feelings or the emotions, but everything in the Bible, because it talks about a command. Well, if I am commanded, then my emotions don't have a play in it because I can't always control my emotions. But, and it just so pervasive, so hard to wrap your head around that. And I study this stuff. But you see the word love, and I just know it's so ingrained in me, and to think affection, to think Twitter-pated, whatever, right? All the Disney stuff. No, love is this choice, is this commandment, is this action, is this commitment that you are making. And that's what God has, this commitment that they have, this without any reservations. And that's what he wants from us.
Before there was anything else that ever existed, they were committed to each other. They were committed to each other. Unreservedly, totally, unconditionally. And we won't have time this year, but hopefully next year we'll get to their theme of day where they decided to share that love. Look at verse 26. I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare that the love wherewith thou lovest me, that thou hast loved me. It's kind of hard to read.
Yeah, they do for you.
No. Six.
Listen to this. Let it sit on you for a moment. I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them. Can you imagine the love that the Father has for Jesus, before the foundation of the world, Jesus desired that love that the Father has for him be in us. That's the whole point of the bride, folks. That's why churches don't teach it. Because it's a level of commitment that we don't want. It's a level of love and unconditional sacrifice that the world don't have any desire to have be involved with. For what God created man was Revelation chapter 21 and 22. He wrote the book backwards. He knew the end from the beginning. He wanted people that would love him the way he loved them. And that love was the way he loved among them. Look at verse 26 again. I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. It all, the whole thing revolves around love. It revolves around love. Look back at Colossians chapter 2. Well, verses 1 through 3. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Being knit together in love. Being knit together in love. We talked about that last time. What does it mean to knit together?
To join together to make one.
Exactly. To join together to make one.
Bind me.
How are we joined together? How are we knitted together? What knits us together?
Christ.
Love. What type of love? Agapeo love. I don't sacrifice for Brother Jared because I'm fond of him. I sacrifice because I love him with all I have. That's the love we're supposed to have. If you have filial love, you'll find yourself I'll sacrifice for Brother Jared, but I ain't going to sacrifice for Brother BJ. You got a long sort of love going. We be brethren. We are knit together. We are knit together. Look at Ephesians chapter 4.
If you should do.
Check at verse number 16. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Okay, step down, back up, pay attention. That word compacted is the same word as knitted together. It's the very same words. So when the whole body fitly joined together and knitted together by that which every joint supplieth, we be brethren. I am knitted together with Brother Jeff, and his joint supply to me, mine to him. We are knitted together for what purpose? According to the effectual working of the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. What do you think our spirits are going to be when we get to see the Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ together, the Holy Spirit? Do you think we're going to be in a room with tension? Do you think there's going to be tension in the Godhead? No, there's going to be just a flood of love emanating from them. When you go to church, what ought you to see?
Amen.
What ought you to see when you attend services? When you step inside the house of God, what ought you to see? The love of God. How am I going to know that we're his disciples? When we're more pious than everybody else. We're more busy than everybody else. No, when we love one another as he loved us. This gets deep and broad. When did this start? Before there was anything that existed. When we get to that point where we're showing love, I'm just a rank and defiled sinner, so are you. But love covers a multitude of sins. Love is unconditional. Love is sacrificial. This love is real. Now, look at Judges chapter 20. Judges 20, verse 11. Now the occasion for this verse is the Levite with the concubine that was assaulted and just grief-stricken, and it caused Israel to rise up to answer this atrocious cry. And this is how it's put in verse 11. So all the men of Israel were gathered together against the city, knit together. Do you see it? As one man. When Israel was full of this stomach churning crying that Benjamin had condoned, they rose up, knit together as one person. The entire nation of Israel has been knit together as one person. Now, what we just see over in Colossians, knitted together in love. Here, the nation of Israel knit together with a common purpose to execute judgment. We're to be knitted together as one in love. How are they become love? How do they become a Trinity? How do they become one? It's in love. Jesus is knit with the Father. The Father is knit with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is knit with the Lord. All three of them are knit together, so they are one. And it's love that does it. If you get this, you'll understand the rest of the Bible. You don't get this, congratulations, you're just nothing but religious. You're just nothing but religious. You got it right in front of you, and you've missed it. It's all about genuine love. It's all about genuine love. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2, verse number 2. To fill you my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. How much difference would it be if we all applied it? We're commanded to have agapeo love. We're commanded to have agapeo love. It's not, well, try to have it, strive for it. If you get the warm fuzzies, congratulations. No, we're commanded to have that.
And if you don't?
If you don't, you're in trouble. Fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love. You know when the greatest experience in church is? We call it revival. You know what that simply is? It's when the church gets into the same mind, the same love, in a like manner.
Yes.
Of the same mind. It's all about love. Agape of God. You to God. It's amazing what happens to Brother Jared, what amazingly happens to me. When I connect to God with all I've got, he connects to God with all he's got. And all of a sudden, we're looking at each other going, my goodness, he's a beautiful man. In the mirror. I see Jesus shining through now. Have you noticed that when somebody is walking close to God, you're seeing Jesus shining through them? And all of a sudden you realize that there's another brother doing the same thing, and they're showing the same sign? Can you imagine a whole house of God like that? You walk in and you feel the presence of God. And the Spirit is free to work. All rises and falls with this. My goodness. Oh, look at Romans chapter 8. This is a cute one. This is one we know really well. And we like to stand on the left part of the verse. We know that all things work together, verse 28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to the purpose. And what do we usually focus on?
First part.
Now we're focused on the last part. We focus on they're not called. Everything's going to work for them because they're not called. They're not called. We're called. We're the call. We're the call. Congratulations, you just passed the test of being a Pharisee. Lord, I thank you I'm not like this man. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I have. I am religious, religious, religious. I'm calling. God answers my prayers. Oh, yeah, how you doing on the first qualification? Guess what that word love means there? Guess what that is? Agapeo. You might be cold, but do you agapeo God? Do you love God with all you got, with all your mind, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength? If you love God with all you got, if you love God with all your heart, you love God with all your mind, with all your strength, with everything you've got, then all things will work together for you when you're called. But if you hang back and rely on, I'm part of the called, I'm in the church, let it pour down the blessings, and God's going, where's your love? Where's your love?
Where's your God?
Where's your God? I'll open the windows of heaven when you shower that love. So don't be religious about it. Don't hang on being called that God's going to give you everything. You've got to have that love in your heart.
What are you doing?
You've got to have that love. He had it from the get-go. This is the point from the very get-go. Before he said, let there be anything, he had love. And he's poured it onto us that we may reciprocate it. Do you know what the greatest thing about heaven is going to be? It's not going to be the streets of gold. It's not going to be able to play with Moses and David. It's going to be basking in the love of God and being able to reciprocate that love. So 420 elders that fall at his feet and give him crowns, what's that about?
Sacrifice.
Giving God everything they got because he's worthy.
Through the choice of will.
Excellent. Brother Morgan said choice of will. Choice of will. Put that Ananias and Sapphira so cross God. We play the game of how much was held back and what was it and what. It was their lack of love that put them in that problem. They began to compare themselves among themselves. What they didn't do was give God their heart. Didn't give God their heart. This is so, so deep. And, wow, I looked at the clock right on time. Brother Dixon was told, you're actually in the building. Surprise. Consider it my agapeo gift to you, brother. I'm sacrificing the next 10 minutes. Just stand and ask the blessing of the Lord, Christian.